बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। सो वी हैड डिस्कस्ड ऑन द फर्स्ट थीम we covered that. Yeah, the first one, function of a Brahminical advisory council. We're discussing about that morning from verse 1. So I was telling about Chanakya, Chandragupta, and I was telling similar examples from the Shastra. You find Bali Maharaj had a Shukracharya, but Shukracharya became corrupt, so he didn't follow him, correct, no? So we find when the Brahminical council is Krishna conscious, then it can guide the king. When the Brahminical council becomes materialistic, like Shukracharya became money-minded, therefore he was incompetent to guide. So this is actually the consideration Shastra emphasizes the most. Either the Brahmanas, either they become devoid of character, like it happened in the time of Buddha, when the Brahmanas were eating meat. They were killing cows in Gomedeya Yajna and roasting cows and eating. Eating flesh of animals. Then Buddha said, stop all these yajnas. And people were shocked. Why is Buddha telling to stop yajna, which is actually meant for the pleasure of Vishnu? And then he told them, you have to be non-violent. But then they said, but Brahmanas are telling us to be violent. They say we can eat meat. Then Buddha understood, if I have to make them stop following Brahmanas, he said, I have to reject the Vedas. Because the Brahmanas, in the name of being guides of people in Vedas, they are cheating the public. So Buddha said, Buddham Sharanam Gachami, you follow me. Like that he took them. Ahimsa Paramo Dharmaha. So sometimes you can find that the Brahmanas can become corrupt. How they become corrupt? By bad association they can take to lowly professions also. In Mahabharata there is a story of how one Brahmana became degraded. And he started hunting the cranes and he would catch them and hang them in his shoulder and blood would be dripping. He became like a meat eater. Brahmana can become degraded. Actually, all four classes can become degraded. Then they will become Antyaja. They will be outcast from the four, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And therefore, a Brahmana becomes a Brahma Bandhu, Kshatriya becomes Kshatra Bandhu. Correct, no? Like that. So, but when they become so, they become materialistic-minded, very materialistic-minded. Like you find Brahmanas, nowadays you find, like in our, in my family, my father used to call one Pujari for doing this Shraddha and all. Now his grandson has grown up now, he is also doing Pujari service. But they come in car now, or they come in bike or car, Like that they come. I heard that they do puja paat also as a family tradition, but they have habits of drinking at other times. So then what kind of puja paat is that? They watch movies, they have TV at home, and they are drinking also, and they are bad habits. And also they wear dhoti, but they wear a shirt instead of kurta. So they don't put angavastra when they go. So So, of course, we wear kurta for preaching purpose. But they wear nice shirt and so they want to, the whole idea is they have become materialistic. If you see the Brahmana class has become materialistic. Prabhupada says, current day Brahmana class in India, they all want to send their sons and daughters to America. And they think that's the most prestigious thing to do. At least the Vedic Brahmanas, the Karmakandi Brahmanas sending them to heavenly planets. These people want to send only to America only. Now it's a prestige issue for a father or mother nowadays in India, because people ask, what's your son doing? And father says, he's in America. He's in America. He's in London. So they think you can raise our collar. This is the kind of, it has become like a status symbol now. And going to America is not a big deal nowadays. Any Tom, Dick and Harry can go now. It's not like the old times, you know, going to America was a big thing. But it is still a status symbol, you can see in India. So Brahmana children are going to West and becoming cow flesh eaters. And they are becoming womanizers. And they are degrading their character living in the West. And their sons and grandsons will not know the name of Ram and Krishna also. So there is nothing to be proud of somebody claiming to be a Brahmana nowadays in India. In fact, Shastras say some Asuras have born in Brahmana families also. There is a quote from a Purana. Therefore, their going to America is not at all surprising. They may go and indulge in Asuric culture there. You see? Therefore, ISKCON society, Prabhupada said, I have started this society to recruit Brahmanas. And Prabhupada said this in America. And American devotees asked, Prabhupada, but how will you find the Brahmanas in America? Brahmanas are in India. Prabhupada said, no, Brahmana is not by birth. Brahmana is by quality. A doctor's son is not a doctor. A lawyer's son is not a lawyer. A doctor's son has to qualify to become a doctor, correct, no? A lawyer's son has to qualify with LLB, LLM to become a lawyer. Similarly, Prabhupada said, I am looking for people who are spiritually inclined. And from them, I will give them Brahminical culture training. Therefore, our Brahmacharya Ashram, Grihastha Ashramas, the training program has to be taken seriously to become proper Brahmanas with all the Brahminical qualities. There are two things in that. The Sadachar and Shilata. Sadachar is external. Shilata is internal qualities. Both have to be cultivated by Brahmana. And also, some people do the karma of a Brahmana, but they don't have guna of a Brahmana. So guna karma viseno. So guna is also required. Quality is also required. Not just external activity. Therefore, we have to really be very conscious of not going down to rajoguna, tamaguna. Because when guna is not there, then our karma will also change. We will not want to act Brahminically. If a devotee is too passionate, even in Krishna consciousness movement, then we will not be inclined to Brahminical activities of hearing, chanting, worshipping the deities, and also discussing Krishna katha, eating simple, prasad. And having control of mind, control of senses. These things will not be possible for us if we are in rajoguna, tamaguna, you see. Therefore, we need the guna and karma, both of Brahmanas. Then if you have many such Brahmanas, then a Brahminical council can be made, which can give advice to the leaders of the country, you see. Leader doesn't only mean some Rajarishi, king, but the mother and father are also leaders in a home. Similarly, there are political leaders like MLA, MP, CM, we also have PM, Prime Minister of India, President and all that. And also, anybody, executive head of the state, Prabhupada uses the word, anybody leading, they all have to be given inputs by Brahminical devotees. Those who are wise, learned, they should give advice, like Parikshit Maharaj got very nice advice. So, this was the first point. I was telling you that I will tell you something about the materialistic leader and materialistic leader and spiritualistic leader. So I told the example of Duryodhana and Arjuna. Arjuna was spiritual minded. Therefore Krishna says, Daivi Sampat Vimokshaya. He says, that the Daivi Sampat will liberate us, Asuri Sampat will bind us. And then he told, my dear Arjuna, you belong to which Sampat? Daivi Sampat. So the leaders, those who are leading, if they are Asuri Sampat, then they will be materialistic totally. And the Devi Sampat means the spiritual inclination is there. So Arjuna went to Krishna and he accepted Krishna on his side. Duryodhana went to Krishna but he wanted Narayanasena. So in the same manner, do we want the material commodities of this world for our enjoyment, or do we want to become purified? So do you remember one example we read yesterday? Prabhupada said, the stars, the sun, the moon in the sky, they are all rigidly fixed in some certain locations, like that. So the spiritual world is like that, he said. And what did he compare the material world to? Clouds. And then when the clouds pour down, then the greenery is produced, and then vegetation is produced everywhere, there are flowers and everything. And then when the another season comes, you find there are no more clouds and no more vegetation, no more growth, everything dries up. In certain season, you find trees are shaven completely. You have seen that? Yeah, no leaves, no greenery, it's dried up like that. So the material world is compared to the cloud and its byproducts, correct, no? And the spiritual world is compared to sun, moon and stars, which are always present. So Prabhupada gives this beautiful analogy in one of the sections we read. So Brahmana means, you know, the Brahmana devotees who are pujaris, they go to the deity room, they chant one shloka, isn't it? Om tat vishnum paramam padam sada pashyanti suryah divive chakshuratam viprasu vipanyavo and then jagram samindate. Correct, now what is the meaning of that verse? They say that just as the sun's presence in the sky can be seen even by somebody like us sitting inside the room. How many of you are confident now the sun is in the sky? You are not seeing the sun, correct? How do you say? By the light, sunlight you are able to say. Similarly, the Brahmanas, even though they are standing on earth, they can confidently say Vaikuntha exists. Because they can see the Lord's energies have spreaded into the material world also. Iccha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, all those things. What is that? And there is one verse which says, you know, Parasya Shaktir, Vividaiva Shuyate, Swabhavaki Jnana Balakri. They are seeing it with their eyes. So they can confidently talk about Vaikuntha. And they can dedicate their life for Vaikuntha. And the Vaikuntha Pati, Lord Vishnu. So that is the meaning of a Brahmana. Brahmana's intelligence is fixed on the permanent. And one who is not a Brahmana, is he Asura? May not be Asura. He may be Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the other categories who are driven by passion or ignorance or combination of passion and ignorance. So their intelligence is focused on, in a material world. Therefore, a Brahmana guides a Kshatriya. He teaches Kshatriya how to give importance to all the three. Bhavaya, Kshemaya, Mangalaya. Correct, no? Otherwise, Kshatriya is likely to take which route? Only one thing he will focus on. Which one? He will only worry about material welfare, which is very natural for him. He will give material protection, he will give material welfare, economic development and mental welfare in the form of food, clothing, shelter. That's what he will do. But the Brahmana's input is for what? It is for the other two, getting liberated from this material world and going back home, back to Godhead. Mangalaya and Shemaya for that. So therefore, in the modern day society is like a headless society, because it is completely materialistic. It's like flat ground level. Therefore, we say like this, you know, the horizontal duties are material duties and these are spiritual duties. Imagine if somebody focuses only on this, they never progress to the spiritual world. Birth after birth, again and again, they are on material duties only. And the spiritual duty, at least a materialistic person also does little spiritual duty, he will keep going like this. And then he will come to a stage where he can go back to Godhead. Therefore, we have to teach the people how to combine the material and spiritual. Balance, we keep the balance. So, when we take up to Krishna consciousness and come in this society, after coming into this society also we can be more materialistic also, still possible. Externally we can wear tilak, kantimala, dhoti kurta, and our concerns may be sometimes too much materialistic also. Like we may think, what about my food, what about my clothing, what about my accommodation, what about my emotional support from some friends, you know, what about my nice sleep, comfortable sleep, what about my health issues. So sometimes we are concerned about, will all these things be taken care. It's not wrong to have concern, But it is wrong to have only this concern. And then in these concerns, sometimes we become bogged up by this and we don't elevate our consciousness to spiritual platform. So therefore, when we come into this moment, which is a spiritual moment for which we have come, we should not avoid taking advantage of the spiritual essence. So the Brahmical aspect is spiritual actually. So therefore we say Raja Rishi means king who is passionate but guided by goodness. And goodness only, there is jnanam and sukham. That is why you find this combination is very powerful. Kshatriya guided by Brahmana. So the combination is very powerful. So people like Duryodhana or Dushasana or Hiranyakashipu or Ravana or Hiranyaksha, Shishupal and Jarasandha, all these people are materialistic kings. Don't think they were not guided by other people, but they never took good advice. They may hear also, but they will not take good advice. They knew philosophy also, some of them. They knew philosophy, they even spoke also. Hiranyakashipu speaks amazing philosophy about the soul. But that is only for telling others, not for following in one's life, you see. So there are, in Shastra you find Asuras speak as much philosophy as Brahmanas can speak. The one difference is the Asuras don't follow, and the Brahmanas follow. That's the main difference actually. So sometimes it's very, pampering to be a preacher. So you can give upadesha and the world will hear you. So there is a, we can become brahmachari preachers and we can be official preachers also. You know who is official preacher? Official preacher is one who prepares lectures, goes, delivers and comes back. And in his life he doesn't follow. He does what he wants to do. It's called official preacher. Prabhupada says, similarly, official meditator, who is he? You know, he attends the programs and everything as a ritual, like a robo, without putting the heart. Like Prabhupada writes in Manmanabhava Madhbhakta Purport. Don't become official meditator, he says. So, therefore, cultivating the Brahmanical qualities is important. And in the second one, in the fourth verse we were reading, Prabhupada said that age of Kali means mismanagement and quarrel, last para. That he says, the age of Kali means mismanagement and quarrel, and the root cause of all mismanagement and quarrel, mismanagement in a country can be mismanagement of eatables, like rice, the vegetables, you know, the wheat, and the grocery and everything. Sometimes there is a mismanagement of division of all these things. And why there is a mismanagement in this? All people don't get food. Some portion of the country people suffer because some people become very greedy to hoard some eatable and release them in such a way that they can make a lot of money. Correct, no? Prabhupada says when in his time, at one time the rice cost became 20 times or something like that. 5 rupees rice became 100 rupees. So many poor people could not buy. Many were dying, he says. And why such people do that? Because they hoard and then they release at crisis times to make more money. So there is a mismanagement sometimes. And then there is also quarrel. And the root cause of all mismanagement quarrel is that worthless men with the modes of passion and ignorance who have no higher ambition in life come to the helm of state management. This is not a new thing. We all know MLAs, MPs and leaders of the society. Who is a bigger gunda? It is seen. Who has gone to jail more than 50 times, 100 times? Like the people say. So Prabhupada is saying that Prabhupada actually strongly talks in his conversations about politicians who are uneducated, untrained, but who come to the top positions of handling the country's resources, like the, you know, food, like the clothing, and also the handling of cows, handling of women. And so in all these things, those fools are put in the top and they have no knowledge. They're muffs, actually. And they don't know how to handle things. They just pocket the money. Therefore, Prabhupada is writing, such men at the post of a king are sure to first herd the cow and Brahminical culture, thereby pushing all society towards hell. Like for example, today India has the philosophy of secularism, by which they don't want sadhus to come into colleges. They don't want any religious people. In the name of keeping religion away, because multiple religions will want to come and give their preachings, which they don't want. So the schools, colleges have simply become materialistic because of this. In MBA colleges, they allow boys and girls to live in the same room. Anybody can live and they can do anything they want. There is nobody to ask anything. So the degradation is gradually increasing to a very great degree because Kali has entered already, you see. So in this way, Prabhupada is saying that these two things he is saying, killing of the cow and destroying Brahminical culture. Like Hiranyakashipu's time, you see, you know, he said, destroy the gopurams, destroy the bridges, destroy the pious plants which give fruits like jackfruit tree, you know, orange tree, pineapple tree, you know, cut all those trees down. And bubble trees, don't cut them, keep them. Like that he told Hiranyakashipu. Similarly, kill the cows, kill the brahmanas, destroy their yajna kundas, you know, set fire to the hermitages of sages. These brahmana fellows are doing yajna and they are increasing the brahminical culture. So then Vishnu and all the demigods get very strong. So he wanted to weaken them. So he wanted to increase the materialism. And he said, let all the brahmanas be sent to hell and we all asuras, we will go to heaven. That kind of arrangement he made, you see. And modern day civilization is very close to Hiranyakashipu's style of management, modern day society. So we can give a comparison, Hiranyakashipu's time and modern time. You can make draw a one-to-one comparison. Yeah. So why we are talking about this now? Because Kali is entering in this chapter. And he is the one who is beating the cow and beating the bull. And the bull has lost three legs. The bull is standing in one leg only. And the other three legs are bent. And it is paining for the bull. And the cow is also weeping. And their dialogue is going to come very soon. But as soon as Shaunakadi rishis heard it, they were shocked to hear this. What? You are saying that, you know, somebody was beating the cow and bull and breaking their legs? So they felt deep pain. See in the verse number 5. Shaunaka uvacha. Kasya heto nijagraha. Kalim digvijaye nrupaha. Nrideva chinha drik shudra. Ko asau gam yah pradahanat. Tat katyatam mahabhaga. Yadi krishna katha ashrayam. Yeah. See, padahanat means Kali was kicking the bull and the cow with his feet, kicking them and beating them also. Padahanat, they are saying. So, who is that Shudra? You're talking about some Shudra beating of the cow and kicking with his foot, the cow which is supposed to be treated as a mother. Kasya heto nijagraha. They're asking that. How is it that a king is watching such a Shudra and not killing him immediately? Why do you say that he only punished? He should have killed. Like that they asked. And then they are asking, last line, Tat Katyata Mahabhaga. Please tell us this Katha further. Yadi Krishna Katha Shram. If it is connected to Krishna Katha. Don't talk something very painful for us, they are saying. Because what you are saying is extremely painful. Don't talk such kind of, Pajalpa talks about... In the next verse also they will say that. See, in that purport, fifth purport, you will see. Shaunaka and Rishi were astonished to hear about Maharaj Parikshit simply punishing, culprating and not killing him. 3-4 lines later, the Rishis in those days, however, could not even imagine that in the advanced days of Kali, the lowest of Shudras will be elected as administrators and will open organized slaughterhouses for killing cows. Like in Pune also, in the Kondwa area, they wanted to open a huge slaughterhouse. And lot of people have put signature, lakhs of people have put signatures, and they have submitted, due to which they have stopped it temporarily. But generally what these people do, again they keep quiet after 3-4 months, they again try to start. Whenever the opposition is there, they keep quiet for some time. So in this way, Prabhupada is saying about the fellows who open organized slaughterhouses. Hearing about a Shudraka who was a cheat and insulter of a cow was not very interesting to great rishis. They nevertheless wanted to hear about it to see whether if the event had any connection with Lord Krishna. Otherwise it's not worth hearing. Topics like sociology, politics, economics, cultural affairs. All of them have to be in relation to Krishna. Then they are worth hearing. Next verse, read the translation. Oh, this is an important verse. Atavasyavadam bhoja makarandaliham satam kimanjai rasadalapair ayushoyat asadvyayaha. Yeah.
The devotees are accustomed to licking up honey from the lotus feet of the Lord. What is the use of topics which simply waste one's valuable life?
Yeah. So in the purport he says, in the politics, economics, sociology, what do they need? They are all mundane and meant for mundaneness. We have heard and talked about the activities of the Pandavas, and now we are dealing with Parikshit, but because all these topics are related to Krishna. Next para Prabhupada says, the duration of life is not very long, and there is no certainty of when we shall be ordered to leave everything and die and go to the next stage. Therefore, it's our duty to see that not a moment of our life is wasted. There is one verse, it says, Kim pramattasya bahubir parokshair hayanair iha varam muhurtam viditam ghatate yase yataha. After this verse, that another verse comes. Katvango namaraja rishi yatpe yuttam iha ayushaha muhurtat sarvamotsrajya gatavana vayam harim. Like that he's telling, Kim pramattasya bahubir means, you know, what is the use of a long life like a tree living for 5,000 years? On the other hand, one moment of transcendental thought, like Prabhupada says, Shankaracharya lived only, how many years? 32 years only. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in this world only 48 years only. He quotes these two examples. Are they more popular, or the tree which lives for 5,000 years is popular? There are many trees which are living, like redwood trees, 5,000, 7,000, 8,000 years also, long trees. They have seen Buddha came and went. They have seen Krishna coming and going. They have seen many, many saintly persons coming, giving upadesha and going, and the tree is just standing there only. He doesn't make any progress. So, a long life is a waste of time if it is not used for transcendental purpose. So, one moment of transcendental thought is by far superior to your life of colossal waste, like the Prabhupada writes. Colossal waste of time, like that. So that is the point. We'll recite one more verse. Ayurharati vaipumsam udyan astam chayannasau tasyarite yatkshano nita uttamashloka vartaya. This verse says, from the morning the sun rises, in the evening the sun sets. So one day of our life is like that, cut off from the calendar. Correct, no? Then again, tomorrow, sunrise, sunsets. One more day is cut off, torn off. And then on December 31st, how many more left? Nothing else. Like that, we have to remember like this, that every day, one day from my lifespan is being removed. One should remember that. And also, you will see that people celebrate birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday also means we have become that many years old also. Correct, no? We can say, I am 40 years old. I am 60 years old. Old means already our time has run out. In a tonic bottle, there is an expiry date, no? Like that, in this metal body also, there is an expiry date put up. So, we come one more year closer to expiry date. Correct, no? As one proceeds, like I was telling you, what snake it is? Kala Uraga. If somebody is 25-year-old, 25% of the body is swallowed. Somebody is 50-year-old, then half body is inside the Kalavura, correct, no? And somebody 75 means year, 100 means fully. One is enveloped, correct, no? So I am telling you these examples, why? Because the Shastras say how we should see the time and the time's influence in our life. Because if we don't see this, we cannot understand how life is temporary. So the calendar example of tearing off a page every day, are the snake's example of swallowing us. These are not our imaginations. These are not exaggerations. And these are not pessimism. Actually, we are not pessimistic. We are realistic. It is a fact that the metal body is eventually devolved. And it simply becomes krimi with bhasma sangitam. It becomes, you know, either stool, ashes or earth, isn't it? So why should one work hard for this material body which is going to perish? And things connected to material body are not very interesting for saintly persons to discuss. Therefore, they are asking, what are you talking? Does it have any connection to Krishna? If it has, then only you tell us. Like that they are asking. So, but it says, second line of that Ayur Harati verse says, if you are a devotee, you go to the zone of timelessness by hearing Krishna Katha. Because, you know, you become Udharati, your intelligence becomes broad. Like we think in terms of Mahavishnu, with how many, one inhalation, exhalation of Mahavishnu, when Brahma is born, how many years it is? 3.11 trillion, 40 billion years. So, you become very, very broad-minded, very, very great-minded. Therefore, Prabhupada says, just recently, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. How many years ago? 500 years ago, that's all. And modern man will be shocked. What is it? Recently? How do you say recently? Why he says recently? Because we talk in terms of millions of years, correct, no? Brahma's Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali and everything. From that point of view, 500 years is just like yesterday. Correct, no? So, therefore, the second line says that the devotees of the Lord are not subjected to death, he says. Can any of you say why we say devotees are not subjected to death? Don't devotees die? You know what Prabhupada said about it? Yes? Actually, this is the last birth for a devotee, Prabhupada says. You will not have to die again. And now that you have taken a body already, you have to quit this body. And some people go in self-same body also to Lord's abode, like Tukaram or some of the devotees. And some of the devotees, Lord may make them change the body, leave the body also. But they are not going to approach death birth after birth. It's only now. Leave this body. So, these two verses are connected. 5 and 6 are connected. Yeah. So that was the fourth one, isn't it? No, that was the 5th and 6th. Great rishis are uninterested in prajalpa about some shudraka's horrible activities. Here comes one important point. Even when we speak Bhagavatam classes and all, I'll tell you one topic, for example. The Bhagavatam says that materialistic demons, they gratify their senses. This is the main theme, Prabhupada explains. Now, if you are a speaker of Bhagavatam, what you can do, you can take this topic and give an elaborate, comprehensive report on how which demon is gratifying his sense. You can say about America, you can say about Canada, you can say about London, and what are the different ways by which the demons are gratifying their senses. And the whole class can be on that, physically, emotionally, intellectually, in all levels, how are they gratifying their senses? Men, women, and aged people, young people, and you can even give statistics also, all over the world. And the class can get Ugandra, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, over. And when people are getting up after the class, and they're walking out of the door, they're wondering, their heads are loaded with what information? Sense gratification all around the world. And somebody may ask you, Prabhu, it'll be nice if you told something about Krishna. It would have been nice if you at least chanted one Mahamantra in your class. at least once. At least some sweet information about some Lord's, activities or pastimes. And he may say, Prabhu, I didn't talk anything out of Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada said, demons are gratifying their senses. I just expanded on the purport. You cannot, get me wrong. He may say. So here comes an important point. When we speak any subject, it creates a cloud around us in the ether. It produces a... For example, every one of us, we have a kind of... When people look at you, immediately certain thoughts come in their mind. Because every one of us stand for something. Like as soon as you look at Srila Prabhupada, for example, what comes to my mind when I look at Prabhupada? The extreme compassion to deliver even the most fallen, like Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And his great vigor, even in old age, to reach this message of India, message of Bhagavad Gita, to all over the world, and a great transcendental greed. Person with a great transcendental greed to reach out to nook and corner. Once Prabhupada said, I want to reach Krishna consciousness simultaneously everywhere, he said. And Satyabhadas Maharaj takes that sentence and explains that we should not think Prabhupada is too greedy. Because Lord is present in every atom, the devotee of the Lord wants to post himself within every atom and glorify the Lord, wherever the Lord is present. So you cannot criticize the devotee for his greed to preach and expand the society everywhere, you see. And Prabhupada did also. So, Prabhupada's desire to see that the cows are protected, Prabhupada's desire to see that the children are educated well, Prabhupada's desire that the youngsters dedicate their lives in this movement. Like Prabhupada's Varnashrama planning, Vanaprasthas, how they should renounce. So Prabhupada has an answer for every question. He's a Swamiji with answer for every question. So when you look at a person, we all carry a kind of cloud around us, of our personality. So because we are all supposed to be saintly people, godly people. Therefore, we should not leave people only with materialistic stuff, information. Although we may say that Prabhupada says that in the purport, you know, he's talking about, you know, non-devotee demons who are just gratifying their senses. That's all right. That could be for, say, one-third of the class or half of the class, you explain about that. And then come to the solution, how Krishna consciousness is the only way. And we can also present a comparison. Okay, materialistic demons are like this, gratifying senses. Are they happy? They're not happy. But devotees of the Lord, just see, they are aligning with Krishna, how happy they are. Krishna says, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. He takes care of his devotees. So that part we can show. So in this way, our lecture will not only be balanced, but also we would have left the people with a high positive vibration when they go out of the, you know, class, when they go out, when they go back to their resume duties. So, like one lecture, I was recently speaking in Haridwar, in Brahmachari's this thing, Yatra. In that, there is a very, one beautiful verse I quoted. Many, many Brahmacharis later on came and asked me, Prabhuji, if you can tell, we will note down. They wanted to note, at least more than 2 dozen Brahmacharis. They wanted to note down this verse. You know what is that verse? This verse, please all of you repeat after me. I'll tell you, you can repeat. Ramaya, Rama Bhadraya, Ramachandraya Vedase, Raghunathaya, Nathaya, Sitaya Pataye Namaha. See, this verse, this is very easy to memorize, this verse. And this has a very beautiful meaning. In Ayodhyapuri, all the Ayodhyavasis, different people called Rama with different names. Like Dasharatha is calling Rama, like that he would call him. Although his full name was Ramachandra. Dasharatha very lovingly would call only part of his name. He would not call the full name. Like the parents also, they give a full name for the child and then they call only part of the name. Correct? No? Like somebody's name may be Ramakrishna, but the parents may call him Rama. Correct? No? So he is calling as Rama, Ramaya, first one. That Dasharatha, out of love, would call like that. And the queens, the three queens, Kaushalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra, they would call him Ramachandra, they would call him. Why Ramachandra? Because Chandra means cooling moon, like we say Vrindavan Chandra. If you look at his face, you experience the same Sheetalata of a moon. It is so sweet. You can keep watching it over and over again. And the compassion in his eyes, the joyful smile, and the round moon-like face, effulgent face, and it immediately makes our mind peaceful and joyful, and you know, it makes us become very dear. I mean, he becomes very dear to our hearts. So the three mothers would call him Ramachandra. So Ramaya, Rama Bhadraya, who would call him Rama Bhadraya? All the Brahmanas, they considered Lord Rama to be all auspicious. Because they said wherever he puts his feet, auspiciousness is spreaded. So he is Ramabhadraya, they called him. And Ramaya, Ramabhadraya, Ramachandraya, Vedase. Vedase was called by rishis like Vasishtha and Vishwamitra, because Lord Rama is the source of everything and he is the source of ultimate wisdom. They called him Vedase. And Raghunathaya was called by the common people, who called Ramachandra as a Raghukula Shiromani. Raghukula Shiromani means he is coming in the Raghu dynasty, and he is also very, he is like the Raghukula Tilakam is called. Tilakam means, Tilaka is the most important thing, part of the body. So he is like a crest jewel of kings in Raghu dynasty. So the Praja called him Raghunathaya, they called him. And Guha, Sugriva, and also Hanuman, Vibhishan, all of them called him Natha. Natha means, oh master. Like Sugriva and all used to have a little fear for Ram, Vibhishan also. Fear in what sense? Due to too much respect, due to reverence. So they called him always as a master. And they very joyfully will relate with their subordinates, sharing about their master. So he was treated as Nathaya. And the women of Ayodhya would call Ram as Sitaya Pataye. He is our Sita's husband. Because they were also women, so they connected Ram's name to being husband of Sita. Now I will ask you, who called how? So who called Ramaya? Asharatya. And Ramabhadraya? Ramanasya. Ramachandraya? Three mothers. And Vedase? Rishis and Munis in the jungle. He called them. And who called Raghunathaya? Citizens, yeah, common people. And Nathaya? Yeah. Yeah. And Sitaya Pataye? Yeah, correct. So, see, this is a simple verse. Anybody can memorize. But when you recite this verse, it immediately picturizes in our mind. Different people calling him. Dasharatha calling, Rama, come here. And the three mothers are calling, Ramachandra, come here. Correct, no? And then all the Praja people, when Rama is coming out in the chariot, hey, Raghunath is coming. All the Praja is, you know, welcoming him like that. Similarly, you see Sugriva and other people, oh, Natha, everybody is calling him as master, isn't it? And all the Mataji is calling Sitapati Age. So everything comes in your mind, correct, no? So this creates, how many of you feel it creates auspicious vibrations in our mind? Correct? Therefore, we should never leave people without auspicious vibrations when we give any lecture. So it's not enough to just speak from the purport, but we also have to speak in such a way that the ultimate mangal for the jiva is to help the jiva revive his affection for the Lord. Prema should be produced in the heart. If we don't nourish that prema by speaking something which will awaken the prema in their heart, we have done injustice. Therefore, Narada was telling Vyada Vyasa also very strongly that you are talking about dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these things. It's not enough. You didn't give the Pancham Purushartha, which is actually bhakti, bhakti yoga like that. So, why I am telling you all these things? The prajalpa, you may say that, Prabhuji, I don't do prajalpa, I just speak from Shastra only. Okay, you speak from Shastra, but what you speak is also very important. We should not just leave the people with information which will make their hearts feel pained and empty when they hear a lecture and go. So, this kind of speech also helps the speaker to sanctify his consciousness also. And it helps the audience to sanctify their consciousness. And when they go out, they spread this good vibration to other people also. They hear something and then those people also will benefit. So in Kali Yuga, there is no dearth of, pain-giving information. There is no dearth. But we have to give bliss-giving information to people. Of course, you have to give it at their level, whatever they can take it. When we are speaking. Therefore, the rishis were little pained when they heard that, oh, what are you talking? Somebody was beating the cow, beating the bull, and it's a Shudra wearing black color dress. And he was kicking with his own feet. Don't tell us anything more than this. Maybe you are about to tell something. Tell us quickly, is Krishna involved in this matter or not? If Krishna is not involved, please kindly change the topic. They were saying, they could not even bear it. It was because they were picturizing in their mind. So when you hear it. Similarly, we should be careful not to speak obscene things in the lecture. Obscene means certain things are not fit to be spoken. Sitting in a Vyasasana in the public, we have to be careful that we don't putrefy the atmosphere. Even though it may be true and it may be happening in the world out. Of course, sometimes you may have to tell the harsh reality, like Prabhupada tells the liquid beauty story of stool and vomit. The end result is very wonderful. The man became realized, what is this bodily beauty? It's a perishable beauty and all that. But at the same time, when we speak improper words, what sadhus cannot speak. So one should be careful, because people may be shocked and they may say that I never expected a sadhu like you can speak these things. For example, very detailed things about cinema actors, actresses. Even if you know the information, it is good not to speak. And because it pollutes the vibration, it pollutes the ether when we speak such kind of things. Similarly, some dirty information about some very prominent leaders in society, whom the people know. Some of them may be, not aware of it, but they may be attached to those people. So our bringing such information may be controversial or alarming to them. And also we cannot talk about other organizations very openly. Although Srila Prabhupada had the age, his age was very much, and he was an acharya, and he could speak strongly about organizations where people claim to be God. We also speak in a very small circle of very faithfully practicing devotees, who are committed devotees. But you can't go to a very public place. Sometimes people do a drama, They call it as Chalu Ram Daku. Everybody knows who is the Chalu Ram Daku. Whom are they talking about? So when you put up certain imitating kind of characters onto this thing, then people get very disturbed also. So what I am saying is, we have to be little conscious of what we speak sitting on the Vyasasana. Actually, a Purohit means one who goes to the homes of the Grihasthas to do hit for them. Pura means house. Hit means benefit. So our lectures should actually benefit the people, what we speak. We are not here just to give some black and white information and push off. We are here actually to benefit ourselves and benefit others also. And benefiting means bringing them one step closer to Krishna's lotus feet. That's the meaning of benefiting anyone. Na utpadiye yadiratim samayakevara. Therefore, the rishis are putting a sudden break. Wait a minute, what are you about to talk now? Seems that you are giving so much of nectar and you are diverting now. What is it? You're asking like that. Yeah, and then he is telling them that. So they are speaking a few verses, Shaunakada Rishis. You see? The seventh one, read it.
O Suta Goswami, there are those amongst men who desire freedom from death and get eternal life. They escape the slaughtering process by calling the controller of death Yamaraj.
See, they are saying that when you invite Yamaraj to join the lecture, Yamaraj becomes so absorbed in hearing katha, he forgets his duty of punishing the living entities and subjecting them to death and all that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, if you see below, 5-6 lines from the bottom, what to speak of stopping death? Before that, Prabhupada talks about modern scientists trying to avoid death by physiochemical advancement of knowledge. But Yamaraj is so cruel that he does not spare even the very life of the scientist himself. The scientist who puts forward the theory of stopping death, they themselves become victim of death. And then he's saying, what to speak of stopping death? No one can enhance the short period of life even by a fraction of a moment. Now some of you may say, what about ventilator? Ventilator keeps a man vegetable. He can't. Can a ventilator person speak to you? Can he eat prasad with his hand? Can he get up or walk? You have seen that, how they are. So, and you can't prolong it also for a very long time. Too short while they may prolong, but they remain like a vegetable only. And then he says, the only hope of suspending the cruel slaughtering process of Yamaraj is to call him to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord. Yamaraj is a great devotee of the Lord and he likes to be invited to kirtanas and sacrifices by the pure devotees who are constantly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus the great sages, headed by Shaunaka and others, invited Yamaraj to attend the sacrifice performed at Naimisharanya. This was good for those who did not want to die, he is saying. And the Yamaraj theme continues in the next verse also. See the translation next one, 8-1.
As long as Yamaraj, who causes everyone's death, is present here, no one shall meet with death. The great sages have invited the controller of death, Yamaraj, who is representative of the Lord. Living beings who are under his grip should take advantage by hearing the deathless nectar in the form of this narration of transcendental pastimes of the Lord.
Yeah. So, when one hears, it's called Harilila Mritam Bachaha. So, this is the last line. It says, Aho Niloke Piyeta Harilila Mritam Bachaha. He's saying. So, he says that, people of the world, drink this Harilalamrit because you will transcend death. Now, some of us may wonder when we read this, how do they say that if Yamaraj comes for lecture and then we don't die, anything like that. Actually, the nature of Krishna Katha is, as we hear more and more and more, we attain Amritatva. Samadukka Sukham Dhiram Sa Amritatvaya Kalpate. Amritatva means you lose fear of death. There was one Mataji disciple of Prabhupada, doctor detected that she has some cancer or something like that, and she became bedridden. So one of her friends came and she gave her a laptop as a gift to her, and another friend of hers gave a projector. So she projected on the wall, and here she had the laptop and folio she had projected, because her body cannot be moved much, but she can press the button. She would just press the button like this and one page would come. And in this way, she started reading Prabhupada books, from the small books, medium book, big books, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, CC. Everything she finished in a few months before the body. And after completing reading like this, she became so jubilant, and her smile on her face was so cheerful and charming. Many people, even unknown people, came to meet her to become happy. So it came in the newspaper, a lady diagnosed of blood cancer who is going to leave her body in next 3 months gives a ray of hope and joy to the visitors, to the thousands of visitors who are coming to see her. So people would come in a group, sit, she would give a lecture to them, speak to them, they would go back, next group would come. So thousands of people were meeting her. She lived for 3 more months. But her cheerfulness, her charm, her devotion, and her sermons that she gave after reading all the Prabhupada books, it gave hope for the living people also. So in this way, she had already attained Amritatva. You understand, no? Amritatva means she lost the fear of death completely. Even if you hear about Jayananda Prabhu, actually Jayananda Prabhu was admitted in the hospital and diagnosed of some deadly disease. And he had some bank balance in the money. He had the bank balance also. But when devotees, something like say $5,000 or something like that, and this disease was very terrible, and even if you do a very big operation and spend thousands of dollars also, still there was very little hope. There was some hope, but he thought the money that I have is only 1/3 or 1/4 of what I need for the operation. Instead of using it for my body and repairing my body, even after repairing also body will not be very healthy. After that operation is over. So he thought what to do. Then he told the devotees that I want to give it to Prabhupada. Let Prabhupada use it for whatever purposes. He gave away that money, whatever bank balance he had. And devotees came to meet Jayananda Prabhu in the hospital. He requested the devotees that if you can kindly bring me prasad from the temple and somebody can regularly supply me, a lot of people come to visit me. So I want to give them little prasad. So the devotees would bring different type of prasads and give him. And he would stock it and invite all the patients coming to hospital. make them sit, talk to them a few minutes, give one prasad. Then they would go. Then the doctor was amazed because Jayanand Prabhu's whole room around him, there was a huge crowd of 40, 50 people and all hearing, and he was giving lecture. Although he was to die in a couple of weeks, he was giving talks and people were enjoying his kirtan and talking. So he's giving pravachanas bedridden, can you imagine? And people saw him so happy, so cheerful in singing and speaking, although his body was invalid. You can see that. So in the same manner, all of us have the opportunity to attain Amritatva by hearing and chanting. And that experience will be produced for a devotee. For example, if we have not attained Amritatva, what are the symptoms? Shoka Moha Bhaya will be there. We will be lamenting about the past. You know, we will be fearing about future. What holds for my future? Mera kya hoga? That kind of fear. And then illusion in the present. Moha Maya, Maya Jal. And it is very obviously seen in the outside world here. You can see people, how they are captivated by Maya, like a moth attracted to fire. You can see that easily. And people are fearful of the future. Some people die by fear only, due to fear itself. But the devotee becomes fearless. Therefore they are saying like this, that Hari Katha Leelamritam, Hari Leelamritam Vachah. It has a nature of taking us to timeless zone. Actually, the Lord's Prakat Leela, Aprakat Leela, Nitya Leela in the spiritual world. So these Leelas, if you see, they by hearing them repeatedly, remembering them, relishing them, because Chakravarti Thakur gives one very nice commentary in 4.9 Bhagavad Gita. He says, if you think that the Lord's body is temporary, like the Mayavadis think, you will take thousands and thousands of temporary bodies again and again, and those temporary bodies will perish. But if you realize that the Lord's body is divine, divyam, and Lord's activities are divine, you will also get a divine spiritual body, and you will only do divine spiritual activities. Therefore, janma karma chame divyam. Evam yo veti tatvada. So in the bhakti yoga path, when you do harikatha hearing, what happens? We are allowed to meditate on Krishna's transcendental body, which is imperishable body. By repeatedly thinking of it and his activities and his speech and his eloquent speech as well as amazing behavior with multiple devotees. So these qualities become object of the meditation of the devotee and they occupy the chitta of a devotee. So two things happen. One thing is the devotee's qualities and behavior and speech are modified. Like how many of you, when you came to ISKCON, you found a new range of words which you had never heard before? Lotus feet of Krishna, dust of the lotus feet of devotees, choice poetry, yes? Transcendental, correct, no? Ecstasy, what else you heard? Rasa, back to Godhead, correct, no? It is a new world, we have come into a transcendental world, Supreme Personality of Godhead, isn't it? Yeah. And some devotee may come and say, Prabhu, give me some nectar, Prabhu. That if somebody is asking you for nectar, this one word nectar has multiple meanings. It can mean that, please tell me one shloka from Bhagavatam. So, and then, you know, please my heart. That could be one meaning. Another meaning of nectar means, please tell me you went to meet your spiritual master. What did he say? If you can share some pastimes with me, it will be nice. Because my heart is like a desert and your mouth is full of nectar. Please share some nectar with me. Another meaning of nectar is give some Mahaprasad. That is also nectar, correct? No? Or tell me some news about devotees which I may not be aware of. I was out of station. I am coming after 10 days. Now you tell me some good news which happened recently. Give me some nectar. So you will find the spiritual realm is another realm. When you come, so many new words we learn here. And this world is a spiritual world is a, like we say, every word is a song, every walk is a dance, and water is nectar, isn't it? That is another nectar. So, therefore, if you see the devotee who dives deep in Krishna Katha, the chitta of the devotee becomes occupied by the imperishable beauty of the Lord, and the Lord's activities, and the Lord's behavior, speech, qualities, everything. So when a devotee keeps on meditating, you know that example of that example of that grass, grasshopper, one worm, which is being stung by a fly. That verse is there in the Bhagavatam. A caterpillar, It is being repeatedly stung, so it is always thinking, when is it going to come and sting me? And then gradually the caterpillar develops wings also. Correct, no? Similarly, by remembering Krishna's nature, his behavior, his speech, his kindness, his courtesy, his compassion, his sweetness, his greatness, all these things, with the occupy our chitta, gradually the whole devotee's body, mind, words, his consciousness, completely they are changed, transformed positively. They are made positively. Therefore, the devotee's speech, his behavior, his actions, everything changes actually. And because Krishna's body is imperishable, devotee also goes to, gradually realizes his spiritual body, which is imperishable. Then why will the devotee fear? Therefore, the fear is lost. In this way, a devotee becomes completely fearless at the time of death, and he can get to see Krishna face to face at the time of death. Therefore, they are saying like this. Harilila amratam vachaha. So, this is secret of surpassing Yama's noose, he is saying. Yeah. And then, so the, see in the ninth one, mandasya manda prajnasya vayo manda yushascha vai nidraya kriyate naktam divacha vyartha karma bihi. Yeah, translation.
Lazy human beings with paltry intelligence and a short duration of life pass the night sleeping and the day performing activities that are for naught.
Yeah. Yeah. See, our Gaurakrishna Maharaj, His Holiness Gaurakrishna Goswami Maharaj, he was speaking on this verse once. So, one or two very good points he said. You know what he said? Din beet jata hai third class kaam karne mein. Insan ka pura jivan beet jata hai, he was telling. That is vyartha karma bihi. And he was telling, the jignyasu should express his standard to the guru. And how he expresses? He says, doctor has many tests to diagnose disease. And one of those tests is to hear from the patient. Therefore, the doctor, you know, triggers you by a question and then he hears you. Similarly, guru also sometimes asks some questions to disciple. When he speaks, he can understand his standard. Because in that Siddha Prajna section, it is said, Siddha Prajna se ka bhasha, what is his language? From his speech, we can understand his standard. He's saying. Similarly, he's saying that the some patients are too talkative. So guru says, chop. Guru asks questions to test the disciple situation. Of course, one can speak. When guru says, enough now, you have spoken now, now you hear me, we have to hear also. Don't keep speaking, he said. Like that he was telling. So he was telling about this mandasya, manda, prajnasya. He's saying lazy human beings with paltry intelligence and short duration of life. In this way they waste. So this is opposite of devotees who are doing harililamritam vachaha, correct, no? Opposite of that is this kind of people who are wasting their valuable human form of life. And then Prabhupada, if you see the later part of the purport, he says, we can particularly observe how the human being is engaged for nothing in the great cities and industrial towns. There are so many things manufactured by human energy, but they are all meant for sense enjoyment and not for getting out of material bondage. After working hard during the daytime, a tired man sleeps or engages in sex habits at night, and that is the program of materialistic civilized life for the less intelligent. Therefore, they are designated here as lazy, unfortunate, short-lived. So why Prabhupada doesn't include the villages, do you know? Why he only says the place where there is industrial enterprises and cities, like that he says. The reason is, in villages people produce crops. They plow the field, they till the land and they produce crops, which is necessary for both villages to eat as well as the city people also. Correct? Now something productive is happening in the villages at least. But when you come to city, you know, the city is characterized by tall towers, skyscraper buildings, and companies with long pipes emanating pollution, smoke, and the city is filled with flyovers and vehicles polluting the entire atmosphere, polluting the air. Similarly, the companies are polluting the river water by throwing effluents like that. And people are running hither and thither in city, you know, carrying suitcase for making more money. Everybody is running like this. So Prabhupada says cities are hell. Cities like hellish life, he says. So on the other hand, in village, something good is happening. One thing in villages, still some values are there in villages. Respecting the elders, respecting the teacher, you know, producing some crops, grains, some things are there. India was 70% in villages before, in Gandhi's time. Now it is almost 50-50. 50% in villages and 50% in city. And it is reducing, less than 50 also now. So here is a comparison of those who escape Yamaraja's noose, namely the devotees, and the example of the materialistic people whose noose is becoming slowly tightened by Yamaraj, like that. And see the verses 13 to 16 I mentioned in the next one, welcome address. So what we will do is we will read the translation of the next 2-3 verses. Please read the 10th one.
Suta Goswami said, while Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrow and prepared himself for military activities.
Next one, 11.
Maharaj Parikshit sat on a chariot drawn by black horses. His flag was marked with the sign of a lion. Being so decorated and surrounded by charioteers, cavalry, elephants and infantry soldiers, he left the capital to conquer in all directions.
Yeah. Next one.
Maharaj Parikshit then conquered all the parts of the earthly planet. Bhadrashava, Ketumala, Bharata, the northern Kuru, Kim Purusha, etc. and exacted tributes from their respective rulers.
Yeah. Yes, and 13th.
Wherever the king visited, he continuously heard the glories of his great forefathers.
This is a very important verse we can recite. Tatra tatropashranvanah swapurvesham mahatmanam pragiyamanam chayashah krishna pragiyamanam chayashah krishna mahatmya suchakam atmanam cha paritratam Ashvatamnostratejasah Sneham Chavrishni Parthanam Tesham Bhaktim Chakeshave Tebhya Paramasantushtah Prityujrambhitalochanah Mahadhanani Vasamsi Dadavharan Mahamanaha. Such a beautiful verse. Yeah, the meaning?
Wherever the king visited, he continuously heard the glories of his great forefathers.
Yeah, tatra tatra upashinvanaha. As he moved from one place to another, people surrounded the king, Parikshit. And they said, hey Parikshit, we are so happy to meet you. And then they told the glories of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna, Pandavas. And their relationship with Krishna. You are so blessed to come in such a wonderful family. So they praised him. And then?
Heard the glories of his great forefathers, who were all devotees of the Lord, and also of the glorious acts of Lord Krishna. He also heard...
He heard the glorious acts of Lord Krishna also. When he heard that Krishna not only became a servant of Arjuna, he became a servant of Arjuna. How? Because Krishna personally fed water to the horses of Arjuna. Bathing them, feeding them water and making them ready to go and preparing the chariot for Arjuna to board and then taking him. So And also how when the Pandavas were sometimes resting, Krishna would become a Virasana. Virasana means like a bodyguard, night watchman, carrying a sword in his hand, he would go round and round and offer them protection. And Krishna became a charioteer of Arjuna. So when he heard these things, the hair of Parikshit stood on end and tears welled up in his eyes, and he smiled with great ecstatic bliss, hearing from the Praja about how the Lord became a subordinate of Yudhishthira, friend of Arjuna, and he behaved so intimately with his grandfathers. Because he himself was a lover of Krishna. Who? Parikshit. And especially so, because Krishna personally protected him in mother's womb. So he developed attachment to Krishna. So when one has attachment already, and then you hear about how your relatives are connected to Krishna, when he heard that, he became more and more ecstatic. Yes?
He also heard how he himself had been protected by the Lord from the powerful heat of weapon of Ashwatthama. People also mentioned the great affection between the descendants of Vrishni and Pritha due to latter's great devotion to Lord Keshava. The king, being very pleased with the singers of such glories, opened his eyes in great satisfaction. Out of magnanimity, he was pleased to award them very valuable necklaces and clothing.
As he heard the glories, he profusely distributed charity. Whoever spoke the glories, they got, gold and silver and necklaces and everything very profusely. And then Prabhupada writes in that purport, in the second para middle, the devotees are glorified by the presence of the Lord because they cannot live for a moment without the presence of the Lord and His different energies. The Lord is present for the devotee by His acts and glories, and therefore Maharaj Parikshit felt the presence of the Lord when he was glorified by His acts, especially when he was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother, he says. And then Prabhupada says, the devotees of the Lord are never in danger, but in the material world which is full of dangers at every step, the devotees are apparently placed into dangerous positions. And when they are saved by the Lord is glorified. Lord Krishna would not have been glorified as a speaker of Bhagavad Gita had his devotees like Pandavas not been entangled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. All such acts of the Lord were mentioned in the addresses of welcome. And Maharaj Parikshit, in full satisfaction, rewarded those who presented such addresses. See, if Prahlad did not undergo such tribulations by Hiranyakashipu, his name won't be there in the pages of Bhagavatam. Or if Prahlad surrendered to Hiranyakashipu and said, sorry, now abhi bahut ho gaya abhi, I cannot do bhakti anymore. Here is my mala, please take it, I will not chant. Now I am surrendering. Then Prahlad's name won't be found in Bhagavatam. So the terrible situations that came in Prahlad's life and how he surrendered to Lord Krishna. Same with Pandavas also. When you hear the Pandavas difficulties they underwent and how Krishna was associated with them, then the whole pastime makes a lot of sense, correct? No? Like that he is saying. And then here comes the most important point. The difference between presentation of welcome addresses today and in those days is that formerly the welcome addresses were presented to a person like Maharaj Parikshit. The welcome addresses were full of facts and figures, which means the qualities Brahmana spoke about Parikshit, correct? So they were noted down carefully and then they were remembered and they would make poetry out of it, of his qualities, and they would praise him. So they were facts and figures, not some imaginations. And those who presented such addresses were sufficiently rewarded. Whereas in the present days, the welcome addresses are presented not always with factual statements, but to please the post holder. And often, they are full of flattering lies. And rarely are those who present such welcome addresses rewarded by the poor receiver. So 2 points Prabhupada is making here. One point he is saying is, in the Vedic times, Lord Krishna is entering Dwaraka, he is praised by certain brahmanas. See, you have heard Sutta Magadha Vandinaha, correct, no? Some of them are genealogists. So they would tell the history of the family. And some of them were professional singers. So they would sing poetry in glorification of kings, like that. And some of them are historians. So they would, so in this way, each person who is empowered in a certain direction, they would praise the king, and the king would give them necklaces, gold coins, profusely they would give them. Now, there also Prabhupada is writing, is it not flattery that the king likes to hear his own glory and then he is giving some praises. So Prabhupada gives a very beautiful explanation there. He says that the kings were all encouraged to be religious by the Brahmanas. So the kings were religious, pious, virtuous and chivalrous. They had this type of qualities. And so their activities were naturally worth glorifying. Like for example, say you glorify a king that he built a very big, Periya Koyil. You have seen in Periya Koyil in South India, very huge temple in Madurai. Tanjai Periya Koyil, huge. I heard that the temple took 300 years to build. So by the time the Raja must have died also, his son continued the project. Then his son continued like that. Many generations continued and completed the temple. So naturally, when the temple is completed and opened, should the king be glorified or not? How many of you feel we should glorify him? Correct, no? Because he deserves that glorification. So somebody glorifies a king that you are a very good caretaker of your praja. You are very good in, you are very chivalrous and you won over the king and the neighborhood kingdoms who are all atrocious. And you brought about Brahminical culture in all these kingdoms. So the king's forefathers who were also saintly, like we sometimes, Prabhupada told Brahmachari's parents that, you should be like a very special parent, otherwise how your son is a wonderful devotee. Only mangoes come from mango trees. Mangoes don't come from bubble trees. So like the Prabhupada would praise Brahmachari's parents also. Similarly, we can glorify a king and the king's parents and his ancestors can be glorified also. His lineage can be glorified. So the purpose of glorifying, Prabhupada says, is to encourage the king to continue to be religious and continue to be virtuous. Imagine if you go and tell Ambarish, "Oh king, you are such a wonderful king. Every morning you come to the temple, you worship Lord Krishna, you even punch the floor, you clean the floor with, Savai Mana Krishna Pada, Karau Harer, Mandira Marjan Adishu, and you are bowing down your head, taking off the crown from your head, and there is one Raja of Trivankur in South India. He would keep his chariot in the end of the lane and he will walk barefoot to the temple, the entire lane, and take darshan and go back. The whole praja would be watching. It's a everyday sight. Kings. Similarly, Pratap Rudra, what he did? Cleaning with a broom. Is it not true? So you'll find Rajputs also. Many Rajput kings, they built, they protected the deities in Karoli and Jaipur, deities from Vrindavan also. So the kings offered protection to the temples from the dacoits and other people, and from the invaders also, and that kind of things also there. So the religious activities, pious activities, virtuous activities, philanthropic activities, and people welfare activities done by a king were praised by people to encourage him to continue doing them the same way he's doing. And also, when the king was encouraged like this, he will feel more humble actually. He will say, no, what did I do? So many other people inspired me. These Brahmanas are advising me what to do. I'm just doing what they are telling me. Makes him, if he's a great soul, he naturally becomes humble also. So kings becomes humble and he is inspired to continue such activities. And the people who praise him, they get reward because they are poor Brahmanas. They need charity. They get gold coins and reward. And the public who hears all these things, they understand the value of the king, they are grateful for the king, and they cooperate with the king's plan for taking them back to Godhead through the Brahmanas. Then they will align with the king. So there are multiple advantages, correct, no? So, and those kings were very charitable in giving prasad to thousands of people. In the Annakshetras and Dharmashalas, sadhus could go and stay. Chatras or Dharmashalas, where sadhus who are traveling preachers, they could go, stay there, take prasad, take darshan of the deities in the nearby temple, take a dip in the holy pond, and then move to the next place. So kings built Annakshetras, Dharmashalas, temples, and they also took care of the public and the five weaklings of society, all of them. So in this way, and the welcome address that people gave was not flattery, but it was factual. Shri Prabhupada.